looked at Haggai chapter 2, the first six verses. This morning, we're going to look at verses 15 to 19. If you can turn in the Blue Church Bible to page 669, you'll see those verses there that we're going to study together. Let's just pause for a moment's prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Father, we thank you and praise you that the Lord Jesus was able to say, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. We thank you and praise you, Father, that we have experience in our hearts to know that God can do anything. And whatever you say to us this morning, we pray that we will have the courage to believe that you can do anything, that you can change us, you can work in our lives, you can bless us, you can lift us up and bless us in an amazing and wonderful way. And so we commit ourselves to you as we study your word together this morning. And we pray this believing in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory alone. Amen. Shortly after joining the Navy, a new recruit asked his officer for a pass so that he could attend a wedding. Not the wedding, but a wedding. And he said, I really, really need to get to this wedding. Anyway, the officer informed the young man that, yes, you can go to the wedding, but you need to be back by 6 p.m., on Sunday. The young recruit said, but sir, you don't understand. I'm in the wedding. The officer shouted back, no, you don't understand. You're in the Navy. And sometimes I think we forget that when we become Christians, we are in the family of God. And therefore, nothing is impossible to him. We are in the family of God. So we need to make sure that we obey his word, honor his name, and follow him. It's exactly 3 months since they started rebuilding the temple there in Haggai. We read about it. And it had been 2 months and 3 days since his last sermon. And sermons come a little bit more frequently here in this church. And but here he is, he's preaching, and in exactly 5 years to the day, the temple would be dedicated to the Lord. Just a couple of observations before we get into the message. And that's this, that righteousness and holy living is not contagious. And I think we need to understand that it's not contagious. Seeking to live a godly life must be something deliberately sought after, must be cultivated by our relationship with the Lord. It cannot be second hand. Just because somebody else near you or in your family or in church is seeking to live a holy, godly life, it's not automatic that it will rub off on you. It's not contagious in that sense. But the other side of the coin is this. We need to remind ourselves that sin is contagious. It can contaminate others. It can spread. And spending too much time with people who, for example, swear, lie, cheat, and are, 101 other different things, that can be contagious. So we need to be very, very careful who we spend a lot of time with. We're in the world, so we have to spend time with non-Christians, but we need to make sure that we're not spending too much time with those people who don't honor the Lord and follow his word, because sin is contagious. And today's text, we really have one sermon, and this is the second part of his sermon, you can read about the first bit in verses 10 to 14. And now we come to this section, verses 15 to 19. There it is, page 669, and it reads this from verse 15. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to the wine vats to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck the work of your hands with blight, mildew, hail. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. It's not right to underline the Blue Church Bible, but if you could, this is a good phrase to underline. The last bit of that verse there, verse 19. From this day on, I will bless you. So we all want to know God's blessing. We all need to know God's help in so many ways. So just three simple things this morning we need to think and consider. We need to go and back and start again, and we need to accept and receive. Most of us won't actually go back to the Lord. Most of us won't actually start again until we think and consider, put our brain in gear. And then we can accept and receive the blessing of the Lord for each one of us. Do you know this? That God has a special plan for you, and he wants to bless each one of us in an amazing and wonderful way. And let's make sure that we think and consider. Let's go back where we can actually receive those things from the Lord so he can bless us from this day on in an amazing and wonderful way. God can do anything in our lives, can he not? So first then, think and consider. Haggai is picking up on the theme that he began in the first chapter, and we're told there to give careful thought. This was really, I suppose, the whole message behind Haggai's book. It was unique to Haggai. On five separate occasions in two chapters, he says, give careful thought. The Living Bible puts it like this: look at what's happening to you. And isn't it sometimes important for us to think and consider, what is happening to me? What is going on in my life? Verse 15, and now give careful thought from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. Haggai is asking them to give careful thought, careful consideration to how things were when they were living in independence of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus wasn't Lord in our life. Consider and think about what it was like then. And for almost 20 years, they'd focused on themselves. The result? They were falling apart. And we've seen it in our own individual lives, haven't we? When we've tried to live in independence to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we tried to do it our way, things fell apart. And as a nation, we've turned our back upon God and making laws that are contrary to his word. What's happening? The world, the nation is falling apart. It's bound to. Look at verse 16. when anyone comes, and a heap of 20 measures, there's only 10. When anyone comes to the wine vat and to draw 50 measures, there's only 20. You see, the interesting thing is that the grain harvest was down 50%, the grape harvest was down 60%, and God brought chastening on them because they were running after the wrong things. They were doing the wrong things, pleasing themselves, living in independence to God. Verse 17, God was behind all of the problems that they had. I will strike the works of their hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Blight, that came from the east wind and came from the desert. The mildew came from the moist Mediterranean wind from the west. And if there was anything left of the harvest, hail came and smashed it all. Hail came down and crushed the rest of the crops. In verse 18, twice in verse 18, we're told there, give careful thought. And certainly I think they give careful thought. You know, the crops are destroyed, nothing left. What on earth is happening? They would really ask, what is happening to us? And we need to constantly ask that question. What is happening to us? God was calling them to focus not on the times that they'd stopped working, but to remember the day they got back to work. Instead of staying locked in, to their pain and their shame of the past, remember how far you've come. And think about things that, in our life. Think about those things which are wrong in our life. Think about when we've been independent. Think about the things that you are doing now. How do they measure up with the past? And following the Lord is so important, and not following other people and other trends and what's the latest fad. Here he is preaching this amazing sermon. A French naturalist who lived in the 18th to the 19th century, he was known for his popular books on insects. You might want to rush out and get one when I finish this illustration. He was well known for an experiment with the possessional caterpillar. And this particular caterpillar was quite special and unique. In fact, what they used to do is that they would follow each other nose to tail, it almost as if they were locked together, and they would just keep going round and round and round and round. And this naturalist, he went into a garden, his garden one day, and saw these caterpillars going round and round and round in a circle. And he thought, well, what if I added another one? So he added another one. It joined the circle and just went round and round. And in fact, he reports that for a whole week, these caterpillars did nothing but go round and round and round in a circle, foolishly following the one in front. And we need to give careful thought to ourselves, because sometimes we do nothing but follow the latest trend and fad and follow what other people are saying, getting nowhere fast. We're called to give careful thought to ourselves. The only way to find fulfillment in life, the only way to find real happiness, the only way to find out what God this life is really like, is to put God first and follow him and not the crowd. That's tough. It really is. So I suppose what I'm saying is that we need to go back and start again. Most of the electronic devices you've got, if something goes wrong with it, you can actually find a little hole, a pin-sized hole, and you can push a pin in it and press the reset button. It will reset the device to the way it came out of the factory. And then you know, sometimes it works. you know, even I can do that, and you know, everything gets back to where it should have been or where it was. And God's purpose in all the problems and difficulties that so often we experience is our redemption. And we heard yesterday, by the bishop's remarks about love being the redemptive love of God. And God's purpose is that you would come to him in repentance and faith, that you would know his redemptive love. He was trying to get their attention so that they would go back and start again with him. Look at verse 17. "And yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord." It's interesting that even though their hands were back at work, their heart really wasn't in it. It's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes you may be in church, sat there, but your heart's not really in it, is it? Not like it used to be. What's happened? Think about what's happening. And negative attitudes, those people that we mix with, can contaminate and really pull us down. It's about time, isn't it, that we go back and start again. Press the restart button. The issue is of the heart, always is. Look at Psalm 51. Verse 17, it tells us what God is looking for. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So often we're just so stubborn, aren't we? God may be trying to get our attention so many different ways, but we refuse to turn back to him. We refuse to go back and start again because we know best. And if you've drifted away, if you've drifted away from the Lord, if you're not so committed as you were last week, last month, last year, please, please go back and start again. Because God wants to bless you. Isaiah 9, verse 13, "But the people have not returned to him." And Jeremiah says a similar thing, and Amos 4, 9, "Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured the figs and the olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." Do we become more faithful or more faithless when problems and difficulties come our way? This was certainly a powerful sermon that he was preaching, was it not? And he wanted the people to listen, to think and consider, to go back and start again, press the reset button. After church on one Sunday, a little boy went up to the preacher, a visiting preacher at this particular church, and tugged him on the jacket. And the preacher saw him, he bent down and listened to the little boy, and the boy said, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." The preacher was a little bit surprised about this and said, "Well, thank you very much, but why?" And the little boy replied, "Because my dad says that you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Haggai preached a powerful message. Final sermon. Look at verse 3. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." It's time for us to reflect, return, and repent, and see serious about our relationship and walk with the Lord. Finally, we need to accept and receive. God's promise we will receive, but it will be on God's times and in God's terms. Look at verse 19. Is there yet any seed in the barn? Until now, the wine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. There was not much seed in the barn. They've planted in the hope that there would be a bountiful and a brilliant harvest. And these four crops were actually essential to the economy of Haggai's day. They were essential for everything that was going on, fig, vine, olive, and pomegranate. But then we read these words that you underlined mentally in your mind. From this day on, I will bless you. The point in time is here. From this time. So whatever has happened this past week, this past year, all of your life, now from this point on, from here on, let's think about that right here and right now. The person, I, means God himself will do it. And God can do anything, anything at all. Because nothing is impossible with him. The person, I, means God himself will do it. And a God who created the world and holds it in place, he can do anything he wants and planned and desired in your life when you go back and start again and commit your life to him. The promise, I will, referring to the certainty that God will do it. The purpose, God's purpose is to bless you and me. This is the first time that bless is used in this book. Personally, notice the you. God loves you. And God wants to bless you, each one of us here today. And there's just something about it which can thrill our hearts and bless us as we realize that God has our good in his heart. There's just something I'd like to mention as we close. For you, just for you, that God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He really does. And we are blessed when we obey. We don't get it right away, do we? Doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't click in, does it? And after delaying for 16 years, the Jews finally began to rebuild the temple. But they were a long time, weren't they? They had gone a long time without God's blessing, and the barns and the fields were barren. It was December, and they had to wait until May or June to have the harvest. It takes time. And sometimes we have wandered away from the Lord. And you may even be thinking, is it worth the effort? Why bother to go every Sunday? Why bother to be involved in this and that and the other? And many of us look back at our lives and say the same thing. Is it really worth it? We're so far away from the Lord. What's the use anymore? I'm going to throw in the towel and give up. Why bother anymore? Things will never, ever be any different. And God says, I will bless you. Keep making the right choices. If you've messed up today, just remember that you didn't get there overnight. Maybe you feel cold and indifferent to God's work and God's church and God's activity in your life. Remember, you didn't get there overnight. You got there in that backslidden and cold and indifferent state by 1,000 steps in the wrong direction over a period of time. So don't be surprised if it's going to take you some time to get back as you take a step towards the Lord and on track with him. But remember, I will bless you. The harvest will come. Gardeners and farmers understand this principle, don't they? You don't plant today and reap tomorrow. Doesn't work that way, does it? And it took God's people 4 years to finish rebuilding the temple. No doubt they faced opposition and difficulty and discouragement. But they started to rebuild. And as they did, it was like planting fresh seed in the ground. Things often look bleak before God brings his blessing. But he says, I will bless you. You will reap a harvest. You will know God's blessing in an amazing, in a wonderful way. As you think and consider, go back and start again and accept all that God has for you as you receive it. Because little is much when God is in it. Live out your faith. Talk to Jesus and talk about Jesus as you share the gospel. Maybe we need to pray a prayer like this. Lord, I am determined to live with you at the center of my life. I look forward to receiving your blessings, the blessings that you will give, because you said, I will bless you. A small boy asked his mum after Sunday school 1 week if he could have a cucumber to take the following week. She was a bit puzzled by it, but gave in to the request, bought a cucumber, gave it to him. Later that day, when he got home, she said, what was the cucumber for? He said, I'm really very, very sorry. I got it wrong. We were supposed to bring a newcomer. When God blesses us, when we think and consider, get back into that right relationship with the Lord by going back and starting again, accept his blessings upon our life. We'll want to share it with others, and we'll want to bring some cucumbers. So we need to care, dare, share, and pray. Or prayer. Care. Show concern for others. Be genuinely interested in those who are lost and going to a Christless eternity. Dare. Take the courage. It takes courage, doesn't it, to witness to a stranger. Take courage to talk to somebody who we've never seen before about the Lord and his love and his mercy and his willingness to receive them. It takes even more courage to talk to families and relatives. But dare. Share. If you only have a few minutes, and sometimes we do, to talk to somebody, what are you going to say? Be prepared. And prayer. Never write off the effectiveness of prayer as we pray for ourselves, we pray for our church, and we pray for the lost that God has brought into our contact. Before you talk to people about God, don't forget to talk to God about people. Let's pray.